It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back in quarter number two of the Keystone Kickoff Show. Dustin Hockensmith, Greg Pickle here. Back from the Labatt Blue Studio, Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. Still talking Penn State football. Recruiting weekend here. This was a interesting little component and something that we can set our eyes forward. So we'll discuss that in a moment. We'll also, coming up, by the way, we're going to look at the 2021 national title odds put together by DraftKings. Some others did it as well. We'll have the DraftKings odds for, you know, long-term bets there. And if you're looking at that, you might as well start looking at it now. It's also in the professional ranks, down to the best of the best as we crown the football champion. You get in on all the action with DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app. It's the place to get all of your big game bets in. You check out all they have to offer, including countless prop bets and football squares. You can do that by downloading the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app. Now you use code KSN for a limited time. All new users can get a sign-up bonus up to $1,000. That's right. Use code KSN and get your sign-up bonus up to $1,000 only at DraftKings Sportsbook. You must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. Bonuses comprised of a first deposit bonus and a first bet match, each up to $500. Deposit bonus requires 25 times playthrough. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. So we'll get into those odds in a little bit. On the recruiting front, you know, January has become an important month, as you pointed out in an article on Penn Live, but you also predicted that Penn State would get on the board with a new commitment at some point in time this month.
Yeah, obviously not this weekend. So we're 0-1. That's okay. I left the door open.
There's enough still time.
To see if we can get something down the road. No, I think the weather definitely played a small role in this weekend maybe not being as big of one as it was expected to be. On the other hand, they still had a really nice group of kids on campus. They all seemed like they had a good time. So, you know, I just look at the, you know, the kids that made it, and it was a good group. You know, I think Wyatt Millam, the offensive lineman from West Virginia, is probably the top guy on that board of kids who were able to make it to campus just simply because of the fact that, you know, he is a very good player at a position that's always going to be of need, even though they've sort of balanced out their scholarship table a little bit for now. So, you know, time will tell whether any kids from this weekend commit or not, but it seemed like it was a darn good start. And they had a lot of Michigan kids on campus too, which is never a bad thing.
Never a bad thing at all. And it did sort of set the tone now for a busy month on the recruiting front. Just to explain the contact period here and why January is going to be important, not just for Penn State, but everywhere else too.
Yeah, so, you know, I think obviously the biggest thing is when you look at, when you look at the calendar now, they can't have kids on campus and they can't go out traveling for the entire month of February. Usually that was a fairly busy time to get kids on campus. Now it becomes this January time where these next couple of weekends will be important to get guys on campus, not just to meet Kirk Sciarca, but also, of course, Phil Troutwine, which they did in a large way with the offensive linemen who are on campus this weekend. And also now Taylor Stubblefield. So I'm sure they'll have the top wide receiver targets come to campus as soon as possible so they can get to know him a little bit before that dead period comes. So, yeah, it puts a lot of emphasis, even more so than I think we expected, on you better have your previous class ducks in a row. So in this case, the class of 2020 by the early signing period, because if you're out chasing guys now, you know, instead of focusing on the class of 2021, you're going to be behind if you're still worrying about the class of 2020 in a large sense. And don't get me wrong, Penn State in some years might have room to take guys, and it doesn't look like they will have room to take anyone on the February, you know, 3rd, the next signing day. So we'll have to wait and see. But at this moment in time, yeah, I would think that that it is a benefit for sure to have signed 27 guys during the, you know, during the early signing period, because now you can put your full attention on 2021 and beyond, and they're doing just that.
And Penn State has always wanted to be drama free on any of their signing day scenarios anyway. There's a lot of opportunity, and generally the more high profile guys you're in on, the more dramatic stuff you're going to endure down the stretch. It does look like on the 2020 recruiting front, that's a good point to bring up just to update people. there's a tight squeeze already, and there's 27 commits on board. James Franklin said publicly that he expected 30 commitments maybe in this class.
That's back
maybe
in July.
More. I don't think he closed the door on even more than 30 at one point in time. But he also said along the way that they've gotten more guys back that had the capability of leaving for the NFL, for example, than he expected. We haven't seen the full extent of roster moves, so to speak, but you're already looking at it. If everybody who was eligible to come back came back, everybody who signed made their way to campus as planned, you're in the 90s on the scholarship count, right?
Right.
Low 90, 92, 93, something like that.
Correct, right.
So there's work to be done regardless.
Yes, and it'll all work out in the end. But, you know, depending on when you're listening to this, you know I'm going to bring this up and I'm going to regret it later when this airs and, people say, well, what? Yeah, but anyway, you know, we're still waiting on Shaka Toney to make a decision, and he has to do it by the end of the day, Monday. So I guess at this point he's staying, or maybe he's, I mean, if he would have put his name in for the underclassmen, to get accepted by the NFL, somebody would have known about it by now. Same with the transfer portal. I had a couple people over the weekend say, well, you know, Penn State probably has some guys in the transfer portal. We just don't know about it yet. It just doesn't work that way. There's too many people in the media that have access
to... That's
one
leaky thing, isn't it?
Yes, that have access to the transfer portal. And guess what? As soon as a guy pops in there, I mean, there's people that scour that thing every day. And as soon as a big-name guy pops into that thing from a major school, someone knows about it. And if they don't know about it right away, they'll know about it within a couple hours, and the 24 hours at absolute most. So I don't think Penn State has anyone in there that you or we don't know about. I think maybe some guys saw what their teammates did last year, leaving right before. I think the other thing too is, you know, if you're going to stay, you might as well, if you're going to leave, you might as well stay and get your spring semester credits, all that paid for and everything, and get those credits and then move on. Because, I mean, let's be honest, if you're an older guy who maybe hasn't done a lot, are you really, I mean, I guess you're going to get a small amount of benefit by being in a new school for spring practice, but I don't know. We see guys go in all the time, don't get to campus until June as freshmen, and have never played college football before and somehow find their way onto the field. They know the playbook and everything else. And I just have to assume that if you are a guy who's been in the program for a while, you can make that transition fairly seamlessly.
It's the Keystone Kickoff Show. We're talking Penn State news from the weekend, recruiting in the 20 and 21 classes. And it's an interesting time with Shaka Toney. As you mentioned, you know, maybe by the time you hear this, you'll know what his choice is when it comes to the NFL draft. In terms of the transfer portal, just to, you know, from my vantage point on that one, there is I don't think this is something where national media have borrowed logins and stuff but there is zero incentive. Let's just say, for an example, you're an assistant coach on the Ohio State staff. You have a text type relationship with, let's say, Bruce Feldman. I'm just pulling examples here. What's to stop you if you see a big name Penn State guy in the transfer portal, be like, hey, Bruce, check it out.
Right.
There's a new name in here. There's no incentive if you're on another staff of pointing out, because for a brief moment, that program gets a hint of doubt, right? It gets dragged just a little bit, like, oh, yep, my God, Justin Shorter's in the portal. So that's the dynamic we're working with here.
Speaking of him, I think he – that was another question that we received a lot over the weekend too. Well, Taylor Stubblefield, is he going to be able to convince Justin Shorter to come back? And I think it's a good topic to discuss, and it might come up later in the mailbag show on Wednesday too. But I mean, when you look at everything where they decide to put their name in the transfer portal, I think it's naive to assume that one position coach or one offensive coordinator is going to change a kid's mind. There's probably something more going on there than just perceived displeasure with the current position coach or the current offensive coordinator. There's a lot more going on 9 times out of 10 when these transfer portal decisions are made. So no, I don't think Taylor Stubblefield, I don't think Kurt Sciarca is going to be able to talk him into coming back to Penn State, but you never know. Recruiting, and this is definitely a re-recruitment. There's no doubt about that. It can be a strange thing.
We'll get into a couple other nuggets here, but I think we sort of owe ourselves and people who listen to this show just a brief conversation on the hazing lawsuit brought up last week. This isn't the newest of news, but we have not recorded since this thing came out. Just the brief background, if you've been under a rock for the past week. But Isaiah Humphreys, the former Penn State safety who's now at Cal, brought up a lot of ugly sounding stuff in a lawsuit against James Franklin. He also mentions Damien Barber as part of that suit. And you saw all the details that came out of it. And you know, you want to let this thing play out as a he said on Humphrey's case versus a they said on Penn State's case. You've had a lot of Penn State players, both past and present, really speak out about this and call it, you know, really kind of a crock from a player who couldn't cut it there. And but in terms of filing a lawsuit, if you're thinking about trying to, if this is an objective, is to try to make a football program look bad, especially one for Penn State that's in a little bit of a sticky spot, no matter what, just based on recent history there, going back to 2011. But then you see, you know, to use the term, you know, player threatened to Sandusky you if he did X, Y, or Z. That got a lot of mileage out on the national sites and brought back a lot of stuff for Penn State. So if that's an objective, that's an objective that's accomplished. It's just a unique situation because when you file the suit, you get to say everything without getting a lot of response. Now, Penn State did respond and say that this was something that was taken to local authorities and they weren't able to substantiate it. But just in general, your thoughts on this situation itself and what it does do for Penn State, how it's going to play out, just what did you think about hearing it?
Yeah, I mean, obviously there was a lot of stuff that came out in that lawsuit. It was 46 pages, I think, of court filings, and there were a lot of allegations made and things like that. And Penn State players have come out, past and present, have come out and said, you know, they don't believe it to be true. But, you know, I guess the other way of looking at it is, would Isaiah Humphries file this lawsuit if nothing happened? So we'll see. I'm sure it'll be tangled up in the court process for quite some time. Perhaps it'll just end up going away. Maybe it won't. We'll have to wait and see. But yeah, it's a topic of conversation that I'm sure they had to address during the recruiting weekend they just had. It brought back some memories for a lot of people that maybe they didn't want to relive. And so, yeah, we'll just have to wait and see how all of this plays out. But, you know, Penn State has made its comments as much as it can. It obviously can't be as extensive as Humphreys can be in the lawsuit that, you know, that asked for damages and list accusations that, you know, he believes means he should be awarded something. So Penn State will have its day in court, too. And when it does, you know, we'll find out more about this case if and when it gets to that point.
It's an interesting component that, you know, you bring recruits on campus now and there are still kids who are interested in the school. I think that Penn State has a message for these guys and that it's the culture of this place. We are going to let that speak for itself and let this play out where it needs to play out. Again, they can't really say a whole lot about this, and really neither can we until we start to learn a little bit more of the ins and the outs. We're going to take a quick break here for now, and we're going to come back. Penn State in the conversation for the college football playoff national title odds. We're going to discuss that in just a moment.
Get in on all the big game action with DraftKings Sportsbook. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code KSN. For a limited time, all new users can get a sign-up bonus up to $1,000. That's code KSN only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. Bonus comprised of a first deposit bonus and a first bet match, each up to $500. Deposit bonus requires 25 times playthrough. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross-check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hardy souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey.
Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
With the college bowl games and pro football playoffs approaching, what better way to celebrate than treating your guests to the best in barbecue with the rubs and sauces from 409tailgateclub.com. They also have great gift boxes. And don't forget the famous 409 Tailgate Club Bloody Mary Mix. To top it off, if you go to 409tailgateclub.com, use code KSN for a special discount just for Keystone Kickoff listeners. That's 409tailgateclub.com, and remember to use code KSN.